pray for Megan. She's encountered this heat down there that's a different scenario than what she's used to. And she needs our prayer. Would you ask the Lord to touch her? My wife has been in contact with her and going to be there for a few weeks, but knowing that God is able to take care of it, God, we come to you right now, asking you to touch Megan. You're the healer. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thankful for everyone that's here tonight. And I trust that you receive something from the Lord. And I'm going to continue in the vein that I was in this morning. I'm going to the book of Ruth, chapter number 2. This morning we preached from Ruth 1. I'm going to preach from Ruth 2 tonight. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto his reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? I want to preach from this subject tonight. It is no mistake. It is no mistake. You can be seated. In 2002, a man by the name of David Myers wrote a book. It was published, an article was published from that book called The Power of Coincidence. I'm going to read some excerpts from that book, so bear with me for just a moment. It says, people around me have been both amused and aghast at the news that on 9/11, the New York State Lottery evening number game popped up the numbers 911. Is this a phenomenal happening? Is it a wink from God? Is there a message here? It was hardly the first improbable lottery event. The headlines of the Oregon Columbian paper on July the 3rd, 2000 said, we print winning numbers in advance. State lottery officials were skeptical when the newspaper announced that their 8 or 6855 winning pick four numbers for June the 28th in advance. We see said that the Colombian computers had crashed, and in the scramble to recreate a news page, the copy editor accidentally included Virginia's pick four numbers, which were the exact numbers that Oregon was about to draw. There are marvels that happen, he says, at such coincidence in our lives. While checking out a photocopy counter from the Hope College Library desk, says, I confused the clerk when given my 6-digit department charge number, which just happened at that moment to be identical to the counter's 6-digit number on which the last user had finished. He said that my daughter, Laura Myers, bought 2 pairs of shoes. Lucky dude, only 2. We were astonished to discover that the names on the boxes, the brand names, one was Laura, one was Myers. Then there are those remarkable coincidences that, with added digging, have embellished into some real fun stories, such as the familiar Lincoln-Kennedy coincidences, both with 7 letters in their last name, elected 100 years apart. Both were assassinated on a Friday while beside their wives. One was in the Ford Theater. The other was in a Ford Motor Company car. Lincoln's secretary was named Ford, while Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln. And it goes on and on and on, the comparison. We have enjoyed newspaper accounts of astonishing happenings, such as when twins Lorraine and Lavina Christmas driving to deliver Christmas presents to each other near Flintcombe, England. They collided, had a car wreck. In Psalms 46, a little known fact, the King James Bible published in the year that Shakespeare turned 46. The 46th word in Psalms 46 is shake, and the 46th word from the end is spear. More remarkable than this coincidence is that someone took the time to even find it and dig it out. What shall we say or make of these weird coincidences? Was James Redfield right to suppose in the Celestine prophecy that we should attend closely to the strange occurrences that feel like they were just meant to happen? Is he right to suppose that they are actually synchronistic events that following them will start you on your path to spiritual truth? Without wanting to rob us of our delight in these serendipities, much less of our spiritual statisticians assure us that the coincidences tell us nothing of spiritual significance. In reality, mathematician John Allen Paulus said the most astonishing, incredible coincidence imaginable would be the complete absence of all coincidences. Evelyn Marie Adams won the New Jersey lottery twice. The odds of her doing this was 1 in 17 trillion. That a given person buying a single ticket for 2 New Jersey lotteries would win both. Statistician Stephen Samuels and George McCabe report that given the millions of people who buy U.S. state lottery tickets, it was practically a sure thing that someday, somewhere, someone would hit a state lottery jackpot twice. He says, consider that an event that happens but one to a billion people in a day. Would you listen? An event that happens to but 1 in a billion people in a day happens 2,000 times a year. A day when nothing weird happened, would actually be the weirdest day of all. The world that we live in lives on mathematical probabilities. They live on the roll of the dice, the spin of a wheel, the luck of the draw, the odds, the chance. People hope that their ship will come in and they're not at the airport. They seek to strike it rich by playing the lottery or gambling at casinos. Insurance companies determine their rates based on statistics and percentages. The stock market rises and falls based on trends and potential risk. People try to make sense out of catastrophe by determining that random event selected them for hardships. University professors teach our young people that life as we know it in the universe is the result of chance occurrence in eons past as a mega explosion called the Big Bang began the process by which life exists on the earth today. People live with the hope that one day luck will coincidentally pick them for good things, for blessings, or for a better life. But for the unbeliever, the mindset is true. For the sinner, that is all they have. For the world, they are living by chance. They're living by circumstance. They're living by random occurrences and the roll of the dice. But for the Christian, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing occurs randomly. Nothing comes from the odds. The odds just mean nothing. The luck of the draw does not exist. You're not going to have 7 years of bad luck breaking a mirror that you crashed into walking under a ladder, tripping over the black cat while you was fixing to pick up a four-leaf clover. Life just happens. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23 says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It's not by happenstance that you go through what you go through. God has designed it if you're a good man. That is not just related to the male gender. It is referring to human beings, that the steps of someone that fears God, he will order your steps in a way that all things work together for the good to them who are the called according to his purpose. That means that there is destiny in every step of your life. That means that there is purpose in every occurrence. That means that every day is a day of significance. That means that you are saved, walking with Jesus. Everything has a meaning. Everything has an impact. Everything is part of the master plan for your life. Nothing just happens for a child of God. So therefore, you are in this place. You didn't just happen to walk in here. It was by divine design. It's been said, the best thing that could have happened to you as far as the world or the devil is concerned, that he took you out before you got here. Because when you walked through the doors, your steps were ordered by God. And you have walked into this house tonight that whatever your need is, that you are at the place that the problem solver is here to meet that need. It is not a mistake that you're here. It's not a mistake. We would like to make you think that it's an accident that you're here. But you need to understand that God designed it in this way. God always has his hand in everything when we let him order our steps. It's not just happenstance that the missionary walks to the mailbox and pulls a check out when he tells his wife, hey, we need X amount of dollars this morning. And there's a check in the mail. God has already put something into motion, and somebody days or weeks before has listened to the voice of God, and they write out a check. They put the address on it. They put a stamp on it. They lick it shut and put it in the mail, because God knows what you need, when you need it, the moment you need it. It's not a mistake that when you call out on him, that the answer is there. It ain't because you walked by and you patted the horseshoe hanging over your door. It's got nothing to do with the rabbit foot that's in your pocket. I'll go out of my way to walk under a ladder just to prove that bad luck don't come. Because if, you know, it's kind of like them putting it on the, it's pouring down rain. Not right now, or it wasn't just a minute ago. But, you know, it's pouring down rain, and there's 2 or 3 inches on the highway, and they said, if you encounter water, turn around. Well, that's not what they mean, but it did catch me funny the other day. It was raining so hard, and water was spraying everywhere and signs flashing. If you encounter water, please turn around. Don't go through it. I thought, where in the world am I going to go? I'm ankle deep in it right now. If this goofy thing drowns out on ankle deep water, I got problems. It's not an accident. But it was the divine purpose of God that you got through eating. You got up, brushed what teeth you got left, combed what hair you got left. You went and got in a car of what's left of it and drove to church believing that God is going to meet your need. He will do it before you. It's not a mistake that you're here. The story of Ruth that I preached about this morning in chapter 1 was a series of unfortunate events, things that happened. Not just one man, but 3 men in her life will die. It seems that life had dealt a rotten hand to Naomi and to Ruth. The story, their story, would be one of such sad circumstances. Seemingly that life is not fair. Those saying is life is not fair, but God is just. And because of the unfairness of life, and it had randomly chose these women to suffer and to face very difficult situations. So as widows, there is Naomi and Ruth. They are destined to live a life of poverty. They would have to scrape by, etching out just an existence, you know, struggling just enough to get food
for the day, enough wood for fire to keep warm, enough help from others just to live. But Naomi understood a principle that had been taught her, that when she left from Bethlehem and went to Moab, and now she is back because she had nothing else to lose. And she knew that she had to get out of the land of Moab. And so she makes her way back to Bethlehem. And there at Bethlehem, she knows that there is a provision that is there for the widow, for the wayfaring person, for those that need help. God speaking to the children of Israel when he says that when you reap the harvest of your land, he said, cut the corners. Now we live in a day and with a mentality, don't cut corners. God told him to cut the corners. You know, just leave it. That someone that was less fortunate could glean of the harvest. He says, when thou glean thy vineyards, neither shall thou gather ever grape in the vineyard, but thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. There's got to be, you know, that time that somebody's going to come along and... Now, when you're in Kroger's or Walmart, that don't mean you just graze from the corners in the grape section. They're going to start weighing some of you before you go in and weigh you right before you leave to determine how much you owe. Last time I said something about it, there was some come up and they were felt like somebody else told on them. Well, ain't nobody told me. That's just the way things is. We do want to make sure that that grape has got that right texture that we want before we, you know, buy it. And sometimes I will try one, then I get a full bag and pay for everything I get, you know. Some of you will get that one tomorrow. And you will chuckle, I'm sure. But don't cut the corners. Do cut the corners. Don't go right there and leave something. Just kind of make a path and just leave it. Because somebody's going to come along. And so Ruth, being younger, she set out to do as other times, to try to find leftovers. She had to have something for her and Naomi to eat. And on this particular day, she just happened on the field of one named Boaz, a relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. And that so-called happening began the process which God would redeem Naomi and Ruth. Because it was here that he began to inquire, who is this damsel? Who is this woman that is gleaning in the field? She is coming behind the reapers and she's gathering. And the word gets back to Boaz that it is Ruth. She's a Moabitess. She is the daughter-in-law, Naomi. He begins to think, I think I know who that is. Naomi, now that's got to be Elimelech's widow. What are they doing here? They got tired of living at the washpot and they decided to come back to the house of bread. He says, I want you to leave handfuls on purpose, that when she comes along, just intentionally throw some things down. There's some of you, if you could understand what God is getting ready to do for you, And you think those little extra handfuls that has just carried you along from day to day to day has just been the luck of the draw. No, it's no mistake. God has purposely reached into the bag of the harvest and he's purposely threw it on the ground where you were walking by. And all of a sudden he just... And you think that some phenomenal existence happened. It's no mistake that it was on purpose that Ruth would say, look at here, there's enough for yet another day. Would somebody please explain? No doubt she got to watching. She knew which of the reapers to walk behind. There was some that was probably a little more generous than others. There's a couple places that I like to go eat. One, I will go sometimes because that's just, anyway. I go to Luby's. Life is real short, but we will go to Luby's sometimes. And I think their bowls are getting smaller. I know their dipping spoons are. And it's like that it's coming out of their pocket when you ask for a particular item off of the line. Because I've had them to dip it and then shake the spoon off. And I'm like, really? Really? Oh, there's a lot that I think. I guess you having to conserve food to make up for that $15 an hour wage you want. Here we go. I'm going to leave it alone. And I look at it like, you could have put 47 more beans on that bowl. I'm hungry. That is 30 minutes past hungry. And I get irritated because they go to, walk up there. Yeah, I want to point out what I want. And it's like they dig for the smallest piece. And I'm going to go, what's wrong with that piece right there? It's got 5 more bites of crust on it. But there's another place that I'd rather go, and I really don't remember the last time I've been to Luby's. If you work at Luby's, tell them to increase their portions. Because without fail, there's probably somebody here that works at Luby's or somebody to listen. So just tell them guys that owns all the Pappas to increase, especially here in Houston, that it would help business. Anyway, there's another place that I like to go. It's called Cleburne's. It's a one-horse operation. If you ain't never been to Cleburne's, you won't never want to go back to Luby's. Because when they go to dip, they will dip it, they go after the second helping, and they try to pile it on there, and they're scraping around it, trying to make sure it stays until they hand it to you. My kind of place. Because I feel like that they're doing it on purpose. I feel like it's happening to make the customer happy. I probably don't need the extra scoop. I know what some of you are thinking. I can hear it. Don't make me come back there and lay hands on you. And I'm going to rebuke that spirit. Drop some on purpose. Let her scoop it up. But then the day comes when he says, if I understand correctly,
Naomi not only lost her husband, she lost both of her sons. So this has got to be a daughter-in-law, and there is no one to redeem. And so he starts searching. He runs over and he turns on his computer and he gets on Ancestry.com and he starts trying to find out who would be the next of kin. And so he finds this dude sitting down at the square, at the gate of the city. And he says, "Got something for you. You remember Naomi?" "Yeah." "You know she went to Moab, her and Elimelech and her two boys?" "Yeah." "You know the two boys died and Elimelech died?" "Yeah." "Well, Naomi is back here and she brought her daughter-in-law with her." "Really? Pretty little thing. Now, I have been obeying the law because I have not been gleaning everything. I've left grapes in the vineyard and I've left handfuls on purpose because, after all, she is a widow woman. But I've also been digging. It says that you are the next of kin. And by law, you're supposed to redeem everything and you got to marry Ruth. I can only imagine the conversation that ensued after that. I'm sure that he began to cough and spit and sputter and give every excuse of why he couldn't do it. If he only understood that God makes no mistakes. Because Ruth's, or Boaz says, "I will marry her, but you've got to agree to it." And so they went to the fathers of the city of that day, and they made an agreement. And the only place in the Bible that I can find where anything was given in exchange for wedding, and that was when he took off a shoe, and it was, "With this shoe I thee wed." That's a whole nother subject. Whole nother subject. And so Ruth and Naomi now move out of poverty and they are living in the rich man's house. But from the redemption, Ruth and Boaz, they have a son. And he has a son. And Jesse is born. And David is born. And the lineage continues down to where Mary and Joseph come together. And there is one born that is conceived of the Holy Ghost out of the lineage. It does not matter where you come from. It does not matter what your status quo is. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter how many zeros is or is not in your bank account. When God decides that he's going to do something in your life and make something happen, there's not enough devils in hell to stop it. And what you think is just on purpose, God is getting ready to set you up for where you own the whole thing. There's some of you selling yourself short, just being happy and content with just the leftovers. But God wants you to have it all. God ordered Ruth's steps. I don't care if you are seventh generation Pentecostal or if you are the first generation Pentecostal. God wants to do something in your life that is beyond anything that you could even comprehend in your little brain.
that's there thinking that only God is going to give you a little something, but he wants to give it all to you. He's wanting to change your future. But you got to fall in love with him. You got to fall in love with him. Our steps were ordered of God. God guided her to the right place. I will tell you on this Sunday night that whatever you are needing, if you will wholeheartedly seek God, he will guide your steps and put you in front of the right person, whether you think it is or not. He will put you in front of people that you never in your wildest imagination could have ever stood in front of. Because when God ordains it, the devil is a liar. I come against every spirit. I come against the adversary that will say you're not going to make it, that you're going to fail, but you are going to succeed. God has made promises, and his promises are yea and amen. God's big enough to take care of every need that you've got in this house. All you've got to do is walk in and begin to magnify him with praise. He has a plan for your life. He has a design for your life. He has a goal for your life. God does nothing by random selection. He does nothing by arbitrary choice. God does not take a shot in the dark, but he's deliberate. He's calculated. He premeditates. He looks around and he starts thinking, what can I do today for Jared Brokaw? And he starts thinking about it. I think I'll do this. I think I'll do that. I think I'll bless Jonathan today. I think I'll help him here. I think I'll do this. It's not happenstance. Get rid of the attitude and the belief that you were just in the right place at the right time. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Your life has purpose. What he does has a meaning. There's a reason. We know Romans 8 and 28 that all things work together. For we know that all things work together. It's not a mistake. All things work together for the good to them who are the called. That love God to him who are the called according to his purpose. Everything is working for my good. Everything is working for my good. Everything is working for my good. I'm going to say it again. Everything is working for my good. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's ugly. But it's all designed by God for a purpose. Don't you charge God foolishly when things aren't going the way you think that you've sat around and you've tried to calculate it. Put your calculator up. Break the lead off the end of your pencil and let God have it. Quit trying to figure it out. It's no mistake what you're going through. God has got a plan for your life. He just wants you to be faithful. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as that ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, and that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. I don't know how many times I got to say it, but nothing is a coincidence. Not even your fiery trials and tests. Because it's through your suffering that God is going to get glory. Jeremiah 29, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. And we stop right there. And we want to go off and preach. God knows thoughts. What is he thinking? Anybody know what he's thinking? It says thoughts of peace. Amen. And not of evil. To give you an expected end. I feel like I'm about to have a fit up here. Something is in the works. God knows what he's doing, even when you don't have a clue. God has designed the end of the story for you. All you've got to do is just keep believing. Amen. Joseph just happened to be in prison with the baker and the butler of the king. No. Because God knew there was going to be a famine, and he knew that there had to be a time of gleaning, and he knew that there was going to be some hungry brothers back down the road. David just happened to show up when Goliath was shooting off his mouth. No. When you start defying God and the armies, when you start talking about God's people,
that's right.
I mean, right down, if you start talking about St. Mortchair over here, God will raise somebody up that will knock your lights out. And he don't just put a sling in somebody's hand. That doesn't have experience. David didn't just walk out there that day. And he heard Goliath roaring, and he took that sling. He said, I think this work, this looks smooth. Caesar Augustus didn't just decree that the world would be taxed just as Mary was about to give birth, but it was already said that a child would come forth. It was already told where he would be born. It's already told what would happen. I look across this building tonight, and if you could see an angelic host that I see, that was standing to the left and to the right of you, getting ready. There's some of you would have an absolute screaming fit, because nothing just happens to a child of God. Just keep believing. It's his divine plan. Because if you start looking at it and take a chance and roll the dice, you'll be like Judas. You'll lose it all. If you're like Lot and you play the odds, you're going to be separated from the blessings of God. Because the grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. Because in the end, you'll lose everything that you've got, right down to your reputation. You can build bigger barns. You can say life is good. You can be optimistic that it's going to get even better. Reference was made to it Tuesday night. I don't know what they're playing, but I know what I'm fixing to sing. You're wondering about tomorrow. You're wondering how you're going to make it. You're wondering if anything is going to go my way. Got a feeling.